An Ohio jury has ordered a woman to pay damages to a football player that she had accused of rape.
Cleveland.com reports a civil jury has found a woman liable for malicious prosecution in a rape allegation she made against former Ohio State football standout Garyon Conley more than 5 years ago. The accusation against Conley came shortly before the 2017 NFL draft, in which he had been projected to be a high first-round pick. The 23-year-old woman alleged that he had sexually assaulted her in a Cleveland hotel room. Conley's attorney said the sex was consensual. He asked for just $300 in damages. The jury agreed. I'm Norman Hall.
Former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is set to return to office. Some wonder if he'll use the opportunity to push legislation to erase some of his legal troubles. Netanyahu is on trial for corruption. I'm Jackie Quinn, AP News.
Everybody.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Home heating bills in Wisconsin are going up this winter. Experts say there are steps you can take to reduce the impact. Mike Moen has more.
The Energy Information Administration predicts that Midwest households that rely on natural gas will spend an average of $1,000 on heating bills this winter. That's a 33% increase over last year. Whitney Hayes of the energy nonprofit Elevate agrees the region will see cost headaches in the coming months.
We're expecting gas prices to continue to go up this winter because of things like the war in Ukraine, and we're still doing a lot of recovery from COVID and shipping and supply shock and whatnot. So
she advises that small things such as making sure there's air sealing around windows and doors can produce savings on your bill. And energy experts say electric heat pumps have come down in price and are now more reliable in extremely cold weather. David Collada of the Citizens Utility Board agrees that heat pumps are a strong alternative to natural gas, but he stresses they still might be out of reach for low-income households and that policymakers need to offer more incentives to make them accessible to everyone. Meanwhile, he says maximizing these options will make a difference.
And if you take advantage of this program and then you'll seal cracks in windows and maybe install energy efficient light bulbs, all of that works together holistically.
For those worried about their heat being disconnected this winter, most Midwestern states have cold weather rules, which require utilities to offer a payment arrangement to avoid that scenario.
Budget billing programs don't save you money over the course of a year, but they smooth out your payments, so you pay less in the winter and more in the summer.
Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We stand on the shoulders of the women who came before us.
Women who were told they were bad with money.
Women who couldn't even get a credit card without a man co-signing.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn to lead the way.
Join us at WeSaySaveIt.org,
where women of all ages and all budgets are learning how to save for retirement.
You work hard.
You make money.
Now make that money work for you.
Invest in yourself at WeSaySaveIt.org.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's that song again.
Yay!
Here's that song again.
For the 100th time today.
Here's that song again.
It's gonna be stuck in your head all day.
Yay!
Here's that song again.
It will make you cray cray.
You love your kids enough to watch that TV show a bajillion times.
Yay!
Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat for their age and size. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Powered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers. Today we'll be talking about healthy aging in rural towns. We're here today with Shelly Rukoff. Okay, I'm going to try to get these last names correct. Shelly Rukoff and Valerie Hildsbrand from the Aging Disability Resource Center of Iowa County, and Ruth Schrieffer from a professor at the UW-Madison Division Extension of Iowa County. How did I do?
Pretty good.
We got them. Close? Okay. All right. Great. In 2018, the HEART Project, which stands for Healthy Aging in Rural Towns, focused on gaining an in-depth understanding of challenges and resources for older residents. Each community coalition surveyed adults and family caregivers and interviewed local healthcare providers, first responders, church leaders, librarians, and others. The coalition's goals include increasing awareness of local resources, developing programs for unmet needs, making social and community activities more accessible, and supporting family caregivers of older adults. Let's start with Ruth. Ruth, can you tell us a little bit more about HEART and your role in the program and what the program is set out to accomplish?
Sure. Thanks, Liza. The HEART Project, Healthy Aging in Rural Towns, is actually a project through the UW-Madison School of Nursing, and it was a community approach to support older adults and caregivers. Iowa County was really fortunate to be selected as one of three rural communities in our state to participate in this project that went from 2018 through 2021. The purpose of the program was to conduct a needs assessment, to identify strategies that would support older adults and their caregivers and general caregivers, and then to implement those strategies. My role in the project was, I was a coalition member early on, and as an extension educator representing the University of Wisconsin-Madison, my job is all about education. And it also gave us opportunities to connect the UW-Madison School of Nursing with the communities, kind of the Wisconsin idea, putting the university out there where people live and work.
That's really cool, Ruth. Thanks for explaining that. We have also Shelly and Valerie here. Can you tell listeners who you guys are and what your role is in the HEART Coalition, please?
Sure. This is Valerie Hiltbrand again, and I'm with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Southwest Wisconsin. And we were part of this when it all got started. So it's been a really exciting process to see it kind of from start to where we're at right now, which is hopefully not finished. But we initially got the grant to sort of survey the community and find out what needs really were out there. And everything just aligns so well with the group, the Healthy Aging in Rural Towns group and the Aging and Disability Resource Center, since our target populations intersect. And it was just a really great process to be a part of because we were able to engage different community members from some of the same agencies that we were already working with, but different people in those agencies, and also having a really good a really good and enthusiastic group of community members. And I think that really drove us to be able to hear the voices of our over 60 community members be in the coalition right along with us.
That's really cool. It sounds so, let me just make sure I'm understanding this. So it sounds like a couple different groups of people that all are focused on healthy aging, focused on rural communities, focused on aging populations, and really just trying to get a good understanding of what services are working and where there might be gaps. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And then we were able to identify those gaps and make some goals to work towards fulfilling those needs.
Great. So before we get into that, Shelley, is there anything you wanted to add about what your role is and who you are?
Sure. My name is Shelley, and I am with the Aging and Disability Resource Center as well. We have many roles, but one of my roles is I'm a caregiver coordinator. So when the HEART project came about, I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be perfect because we need to focus on our caregivers. So we had already a caregiver coalition that we just kind of then made into the HEART project, which it was just seamless because it was very needed. So we incorporated just in how we can enhance, you know, for resources for caregivers to help benefit our loved ones. So,
great.
Yes.
Well, it sounds really relevant to what our listeners are interested in and what we're trying to do with the goal of the show, right? So we're really trying to, we have a as Liza would say, that's easy for me to say, right? We have a three-prong approach with what we're trying to do with the Empowered Caregiver, which is to educate family caregivers, which I think we're going to be able to gain a lot from you guys tonight. We want to advocate for family caregivers. And then we also want to just be able to support family caregivers. Right, recognize what their role is, what they're doing, and how they need to see themselves, and we need to see them as valuable assets to our whole community, but specifically in the rural areas. So would you mind sharing before we go to our first break, what were HEART's findings, some specific findings in regard to the needs and concerns of the family caregivers?
I think one of the things that jumps out to me the most is that when we took an inventory of what resources we had in our rural Iowa county, we anticipated that we were going to be lacking in a lot of areas because we were so rural. But what we found was that we did have quite a few resources that we were proud and very happy to have in Iowa county, but we were finding that nobody knew about them. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the biggest things that we really decided to focus on early on. And part of that was trying to develop a resource hub that folks could go to online for a searchable database that they could find access to resources, and to go beyond just your standard resources that you would think of from like human service type agencies, but to include, we wanted to include other activities that people could get involved in order to socialize and really enrich their lives. So that's one of the, I think one of the main things that stands out to me from that part of the process.
And then can you tell listeners, I know that you guys are serving Iowa County. Where are you located and what are some of the communities that you serve?
Sure. We are, most of our agencies are located in Dodgeville, which is our biggest town, I guess, in Iowa County, but we are probably about a half an hour, 45 minutes away from Madison, depending on where you are in Southwest Wisconsin. So our neighboring counties are Lafayette, Grant, Richland, and then Dane County. So.
Great. Were there any other obvious findings that came out from your research about what needs and concerns family caregivers had? If it's not, that's okay. I wanted to give you the opportunity. So, I mean, what I'm hearing is the biggest concern was that there is this wealth of opportunities, but there isn't knowledge about them.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
And there was definitely times where we found that we did have some unmet needs, like, for instance, transportation, I think kind of crosses over everything that we were trying to accomplish. But again, we did have some transportation resources that we were finding that people weren't really aware of either.
Do you think part of the lack of awareness is the challenges around internet access, internet, availability in rural areas?
I think it definitely is internet access, but we've tried other avenues as well, like print advertising. We actually have, the ADRC has a publication that we put out monthly in our shopping news that goes out to about 10,000 households in or around Iowa County. So we have an insert that goes into that once a month. And we use that for a lot of our advertising, but we know not everybody looks there either, because until they've realized who we are or what that piece of paper is, they don't necessarily look at it. But we've tried radio, online resources and print advertising as well.
That's wonderful.
I think word of mouth is absolutely our best method of getting the word out on our programs and services. And when we can engage with an audience or participants or even our elected officials, letting them know what we're doing so that they can help us spread the word really does make a difference.
And I'm just curious with the ADRC, how do seniors initially connect with your organization? How do they even know the ADRC is out there? I mean, do you have a lot of support with healthcare professionals? Or I'm sure that there's some people that are probably not even, unfortunately, familiar with your organization.
Absolutely. I mean, we definitely find that, we're busy, our contacts are increasing, but we also know that the aging population is increasing too, so we expect that to happen. But it's sort of a struggle that we have too, is finding ways that we can let people know about our resources so that they can access us. But when studies, when surveys have been done of our consumers, actually through the state of Wisconsin, what they have found is word of mouth has been our best referral source. So we pride ourselves on good customer service and really trying to help people in our target group, and that includes caregivers.
Yeah. And part of, we like to say, know us before you need us. So we are a resource for absolutely everyone. So that's the other thing that we want people to know as well.
I was actually on the phone with the Dane County ADRC just the other day. Kristen and I both have adult children with disabilities, and that's kind of what brought us into this caregiver world. And they are a wealth of knowledge. And I heard of them because, Kristen told me about them, or another, we'd have kind of that autism community that got us linked together. But I don't know if it wasn't for, my people, if I would have known where to find you. So we'll be back to talk more about healthy aging in rural communities after this short break.
To all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. A wind advisory continues until 9 a.m. this morning. Sunny skies and calm today with daytime highs approaching 26. Winds out of the west, 15 to 20 miles an hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows level off around 17. Highs level off around 36. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society.
Today we're here talking about healthy aging in rural communities. We're here with Shelley Roykoff, Valerie Hiltbrand from the Aging Disability Resource Center of Iowa County. And so we heard a lot from them in the last segment explaining that they're there as a resource to the community, specifically for people in this context that we're talking about that are getting older, right? And the family caregivers that are supporting our aging population. And then Liza shared that we're very familiar, the two of us and many people in our community, with the ADRCs, because that's where we go when our children kind of age out of the children services and start needing, if they are accessible, sorry, if they're entitled to the adult services. So we know a lot now about the ADRC, but I'm not sure, Ruth, that we've quite understood the role of the UW-Madison Division of Extension and the School of Nursing. So can you kind of explain why those two groups are involved in this coalition around healthy aging in rural communities?
Sure.
Thanks.
I can start with the School of Nursing. They actually have a Center on Aging Research and Education. And with that center, it's the university. We're proud of our university, and they're always looking for opportunities to do research. And although the Healthy Aging in Rural Towns project was not specifically a research project, it was something that they could study. They had graduate students who were engaged with the communities. They found opportunities to try out some of their ideas and their strategies and their models, what works and what doesn't. And then they were able to actually put together a handbook for other rural communities who were considering starting an aging coalition to support healthy aging in rural communities.
Oh, that's great. And so did that come out of the work in Iowa County, you're saying?
That came out of there were three communities in our project. So I'm not going to get it right. Langlade County, way up north, the city of Waupun, and then Iowa County. So they used the same model and the same strategies in all of our counties, and then merged those into their handbook or their workbook.
Okay, that makes great sense.
Yeah, and we were really excited to get to be part of something like that, that what we were part of now can be replicated in other communities, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country. And it really was all about building a coalition to support older adults and to support caregivers.
Right, because the older adults and the caregivers are the ones that together have to face these challenges that, I mean, we're going to get into in a few minutes that are really specific to rural communities, as well as the ones that are involved in, you know, communities as a whole. So one of my, I know you guys are getting an announcement across your building. Sorry. That's okay. In my other life, I was a high school teacher and there was always loud announcements coming across the loudspeaker. And you're like, wait, that is not the time that I needed this. So we have about 4 minutes here before we go to one of the breaks. But I was just wondering, in the surveys that now, if I'm understanding this correctly, are coming from these rural areas, and they're showing that the biggest concerns for both the aging population and their family caregivers are four things. A shortage of the paid caregivers, because we've really identified in our show how family caregivers may get paid, but most often don't. That there's also a concern of poor coordination among service providers, resources being limited to larger communities, and that lack of transportation that Valerie mentioned a little bit in our earlier segment. Can you guys share a little bit more about the findings that came from these surveys and these identification of these needs and what's actually being done? What's in the handbook? What are they finding?
Yeah. Well, for the shortage of paid caregivers, one thing that what we ended up focusing on, I mean, the caregiver shortage, I think, is not just rural. It's everywhere, yes. Which is very unfortunate. But then what we decided to focus on is how do we support our family caregivers? So we decided to focus on the caregivers, and we even had like workshops with the School of Nursing coming in doing like, how do you transfer someone appropriately? How do you give them change bedding if they're bed bound? It was very practical tasks that you would think we take for granted, but it was someone with a disability or older or whatever that's hard to move, it's hard. So
Shelly, you're absolutely correct. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we've had many guests on who've talked about, as caregivers to aging parents or to spouses that have some pretty chronic illnesses, that they're expected to do all these medical things that nobody trains them on. So it's awesome to hear that the School of Nursing is getting involved in that.
Yeah. And it was well attended, which was great. And then we had examples of things there. We had a panel of caregivers as well, so our caregivers know that they're not alone, that they are out there, and that's a good way to try to connect people as well, because it's about that support and it's about talking and knowing that you're not alone. So that was a really good event that we thought really enhanced our caregiving. And one thing that we are working on is we're going to be doing to increase the caregiver. We're working with the RC AW to try to figure out to increase that registry. So when people look online, there's resources there or more than what's on that. So that is something that we're doing as well.
Shelly, can you say what the art? I don't know what that acronym is.
Okay. And Vale might have to help me out with that. Sure. I forget.
The Respite Care Association of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
So they have a caregiver registry, and we would like more caregivers to get on that registry in Southwest Wisconsin. So we're going to be doing some promotion for their agency, and hopefully that will assist in the rural community.
Sure. And so that's going to be something that caregivers that are willing to provide respite put themselves on this registry?
Yeah. So in order to be on the registry, they do have to do some, they have to basically take some online classes through the Respite Care Association. And once they complete those and a background check is approved, then they are able to be on that registry. And from there, it's really up to the person to determine, you know, who the best person to hire would be.
Great. So that's a lot of really good information. We'll be back in just a moment to dig into some more topics.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. This coverage is brought to you by Waukesha Auto Repair. When your car breaks down, don't get mad. Go to war. Waukesha Auto Repair, locally owned and operated, 262-524-0000. And fully promoted. 18 years of promotional service. Whatever you want, we can get it. And Buddy's Burgers and Custard. Best burgers and custard in Waukesha.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. More details on Tuesday night's mass shooting that killed six in Chesapeake, Virginia. Our Mike Hempen has them.
Investigators say the Walmart supervisor who shot and killed six co-workers left behind what he called a death note. Andre Bing blamed others for mocking him and said he wishes his parents would have paid closer attention to his social deficits. Bing also said he did not plan the shooting, but that, quote, things just fell in place like I was led by the Satan, unquote. Co-workers who survived the shooting say he was known for being difficult and for being hostile with employees. Police say Bing legally purchased the 9mm gun he used the day of the killings. He had no criminal record. Bing died at the scene of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. I'm Mike Hempen.
Residents of Colorado Springs are reassessing things after last weekend's mass shooting at a gay nightclub. State Representative Leslie Harrod says she had hoped the city would have aged out of hate.
Of transphobia, of racism, of, you know, of homophobia. We're not going to just age out of it.
In fact, she says some are breeding it. Her answer?
We have to actively teach a new narrative. We have to actively embrace people who are different than us or those who are just like us and see us for who we are completely. Colorado Springs should lead that now.
In his nightly address, Ukraine's President Vladimir Zelensky says the number of people without power across the country has been halved, but that leaves 6 million still experiencing blackouts, the result of Russian strikes. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says the alliance's commitment to Ukraine is unwavering.
Allies are providing unprecedented military support, and I expect foreign ministers will also agree to step up non-lethal support.
COVID-19 numbers are trending upward in the U.S. The CDC's tracker shows cases and deaths on the rise. This is AP News.
The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. The coverage is brought to you by Mia's Kitchen and Pizzeria, delicious, fresh, homestyle Italian, and Planned Parenthood. Care no matter what. Affordable health care without judgment. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. And Albanese's Roadhouse, authentic Italian family restaurant, sports bar and grill. The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. This coverage is brought to you by Waukesha Auto Repair. When your car breaks down, don't get mad. Go to war. Waukesha Auto Repair, locally owned and operated, 262-524-0000. And fully promoted. 18 years of promotional service. Whatever you want, we can get it. And Buddy's Burgers and Custard. Best burgers and custard in Waukesha.
Listening to the Empower Caregiver Show, and today we're talking about healthy aging in rural communities. And so a survey was sent out, and some of the findings were the biggest concerns were a shortage of paid caregivers, which we addressed as kind of nationwide, not limited to rural communities, and then also poor coordination among service providers, resources being limited to larger communities, and lack of transportation. So we had to go to commercial break, but I just wanted to follow up on that and see if you guys had any more insight about some of the concerns that were found in the survey.
Well, about the poor coordination among service providers, given the rural area, we found that there are resources, but it was just a matter of making sure everyone knew about them. So it's focusing on the education and the awareness to enhance the caregiving, but trying to connect them all so people know that they're out there. So that was a big thing that we had to focus on. And with that, part of that, we came up with it was called the Hub. It was on internet based. It was, you went to a website and then you would type in what you needed and resources would come up. So that was one thing that we did do, trying to do a coordination so people knew what was out there.
Sure.
And what about the lack of transportation?
Yeah, well, we took kind of a unique approach to that one. And we found that it really intersected with the social isolation things that we were hearing, and this was even pre-COVID. But we did some unique things. We purchased some portable disabled parking signs so that we could get people closer to the venue, and those could be borrowed out to anybody that needed them in Iowa County. For instance, we used them for the Iowa County Fair and the dairy breakfast and things like that. And those are still available. And we purchased some really nice benches to be placed throughout towns, our rural list of towns in Iowa County. I think every town got one, just so that people have access to sitting down while they're waiting for a car, waiting for a business to open. You know, we tried to work with the schools on trying to get grandparents to be able to go see their grandkids at sporting events and making it more accessible so that it was easier to get in a gym. It was easier to get, you know, into the school and those sorts of things. So again, we took some unique approaches, but they were, it helped us build partnerships, doing it that way too.
Definitely. And yeah, Serving the community in obvious ways that are beneficial.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. I'm thinking about my grandmother, who actually lives in a small rural community, and I don't even know how many grandkids she has at this point. Let's just say dozens. And so she spends hours at these school events. So I really appreciate and like the fact that you took that into consideration, you know, how to make that more accessible to seniors. That's awesome. An article was written by Diane Farsetta, New Strategies for Aging Communities, which can be found on the UW-Madison School of Nursing website, states that the importance of local libraries being a great resource for supporting seniors in their aging in place. Shelley and Val, how have you seen this happen?
Really, I can't say enough positive things about our local libraries. They've been a great resource for all of us. During our time with the Heart, we developed many things in with the library, our local libraries. For example, we did memory kits. And so what it was a tote that had, for one theme was cooking, one theme was Elvis, one theme was farming. So they were interactive totes that had a variety of things to help the interaction, whether it be a child and an adult or an older individual, or even just someone that has a hard time starting a conversation. You know, you can have out of the cooking one, we had like spices in there, so you could smell the spice. What does this remind you of? You know, there was a car, like an old car one, so it had pictures. So it was something that we thought would help, again, intergenerational, but also it helps everyone that's doing that with that interaction. So that
those could be checked out from the library and taken home or taken to a nursing home or a care center.
Yep, and still can to this day. So yep, we still have them. So that was a really neat thing to work on and to develop. The other thing is we had book clubs. So we had this focused on dementia, but it was My Two Elaines with Marty Schreiber. So we had two at the libraries and then we had one online because of COVID, unfortunately. But we tried to keep it going. So, you know, that's a great way. And that's a community in itself, too, because after that, you have discussions about your experiences and everything. So that has been good. And various prevention programs that we have. The libraries are great places to have. The libraries want everyone in, so it's great to work with them because they have a whole, I don't know what the right word is, but a population. I mean, they see so many different people, so they reach so many people, and so they get our word out for us as well.
Yes, they're a great source for information.
Yes.
And then a lot of diversity, like you're saying. And I love hearing about those kits with having a daughter who's on the autism spectrum. She's really sensory impacted. And I love that you've got these kits. And like you said, they don't necessarily have to be used with the aging population, right? They could be used with anybody to just generate different types of conversations. That's really cool.
Yep. Yeah. And we even had some of them had CDs, so you could have the music aspect of it as well. So we tried to hit like all the sensories, like you were saying. Yeah, they were fun to do.
And the library, I think, obviously for seniors would be a great place. I know we talked a little bit briefly that not all seniors use the internet, know how to use the internet, or even have access to the internet. So I would encourage all of the listeners to really, you know, talk to your lawmakers and request the support of libraries. I was reading about that just recently. The Milwaukee Library is set to receive a $2 million budget cut. The Wisconsin Rapids McMillan Memorial Library is set to undergo a 30% budget cut. And it's just sad because it's more than checking out books, right? This is a great resource to serve communities young and old.
Right.
Our public libraries are a really important part of our coalition efforts and our community network.
Yes.
Do you want to speak to that a little bit, Ruth? What do you mean beyond what has already been said?
If we aren't asking them to host programs, they're calling us to ask us which programs they can host.
Oh, so that's wonderful. It's,
and even with new library directors, new library staff, new board members on libraries, they're always eager to have us come in and to be part of what we're doing.
That's excellent. The next thing I want to ask you guys about is related to this idea still of like building this community, right? And keeping a coalition going. In the same article, they mentioned the role of local media. And one of the things that our show is doing with the civic media organization that sponsors us is trying to get back to hometown media. Is there something that you've seen specifically done, or are there suggestions you have for us and local media and shows like ours that we can do to support seniors in rural communities?
Well, I know for us with the ADRC, I mean, we really appreciate having a good relationship with our local medias. They've been willing to let us get content in their publications or on the radio with little notice sometimes, you know. So they're really supportive of that. And when we have brought up topics that we feel the community really needs to know about, like needing volunteers or trying to spread awareness about dementia-friendly communities and that sort of thing, they've been, you know, they've been really good to feature stories about the population that we serve or about what we're doing here at the ADRC. So I think for us, just really trying, we know that we need to rely on them in order to get the word out about our programs and services. So really just kind of working with them and because it does, I mean, we need them just as much as they need us. So
yes, it's definitely a symbiotic relationship. That's mm-hmm. true.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think we'd be as successful in some of our programming and our events without that resource either. So it does help.
Sure. In this segment, we like to ask what we call powerful questions. These are questions that sometimes kind of turn you in to reflect a little bit on kind of how you're experiencing your work as an individual. And so we've really been talking a lot about caregivers and the aging population. And so I'm just throwing this out to any of the three of you. What are some stories you've heard in terms of family caregivers that have kind of tugged on your heartstrings or that have stuck out for you?
One of the programs that, because of HEART, that I got trained in with Shelley was a series called Powerful Tools for Caregivers. And caregivers in this sense don't have to be caregivers just of older adults. They can be caregivers of adult children with special needs or even young people also, or younger children. So recently in one of our Powerful Tools for Caregivers classes, I sent all my promotion information to people who had been on my mailing list for other activities. And one of our participants from a previous program gave the flyer to her husband and said, you need to take this. Oh. And what she was sharing with him was the Powerful Tools for Caregivers flyer. And he joined us for the first session. And this is a multi-session program that we're doing via Zoom. And afterwards shared with us, with Shelley and I and our co-facilitator, he didn't even know he was a caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and we had met them through another program. And it was just really, he was very emotional about it. He said, when I got married, it was for better or worse or sickness and in health. And I didn't, this is what I, she's my wife, of course, but it wasn't, he wasn't thinking about it from a caregiver lens, but he really did appreciate having this network of other caregivers to share ideas and experiences with.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that, because that's exactly what we're trying to do with the show. And mm-hmm. you'd be surprised how many people, and it does seem to lean, well, I was going to say it leans more towards the male population, but that's not actually true, because lots of times we'll have females who are like, this is what I just expected to do as a mother, as a wife, as a daughter, right? And so I do think that it's the family caregiver piece gets complicated, because we expect that we're going to be taking care of our family, yet we also expected them to not live as long, not have so many complicated health issues. We expected to have kind of more support, and that isn't happening, right? And so I think people are kind of waking up, like this gentleman you're sharing, and saying, mm-hmm. wow, I do have to identify with that role so mm-hmm. that I can connect with other people. Like Shelley was saying, you know, having that support of other people in your class and in your groups, and then also be able to advocate for more resources and support.
Yep. He was wearing his husband hat. He didn't realize he had another hat to wear.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Exactly. I'm also really interested because I didn't grow up in a rural community. I come from a suburban area. And so I'm just really curious about how many seniors and people in general in rural communities can be quite stoic and don't realize or don't want to ask for help. So what kind of suggestions, and I'm thinking of him, right? So just to sort of build off of this, like what are some suggestions you have for how to help people break that barrier?
So what I would, it's almost you have to learn, help them. I'm having a hard time here. Help yes. them be specific in what they need. There's others out there. There's so many people that say, you know, just call me if you need help. Well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. So as hard as it is, we have to normalize that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to be specific, but you have to be specific too. You know what? I would love a home cooked meal. You know, something like that.
Yes.
So that's just one of the things.
I think that's good. Specificity really helps. Any other suggestions?
Well, just to piggyback on that a little bit, you know, I found what is helpful sometimes when we are working with even just the consumer themselves, or maybe a caregiver that's stressed out and overwhelmed is maybe they don't want to ask their family or close friends for the help. They think that they're going to be a burden or whatnot, but maybe they could ask their family if they could help them find somebody, because they might have a bigger network and a pool of friends that they could draw.
The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. The coverage is brought to you by Mia's Kitchen and Pizzeria, delicious, fresh, homestyle Italian, and Planned Parenthood. Care no matter what. Affordable health care without judgment. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. And Albanese's Roadhouse, authentic Italian family restaurant, sports bar and grill.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
I was about to get on the radio and be interviewed, and all of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye move. It was a squirrel.
Oh, that's not good.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I couldn't find the squirrel, but I knew it was somewhere in the house. I ended up naming him Albert. He was relocated to Brookfield, so he is now a suburban squirrel.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind advisory continues until 9 a.m. this morning. Clear skies today with highs around 26. Westerly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Lows level off around 17 tonight. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 36. Upper 30s Monday with mixed precipitation possible at times. Low 30s, mainly cloudy Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Are we back? Yes. There's a hunting fishing show playing on in
oh, delightful.
Waukesha, and they thought they were going to steal our airwaves, and they had it wrong.
That's right. We are the empowered caregivers. We're taking our airwaves back.
Yes, we are. So we have been talking about the HEART Project, which stands for Healthy Aging in Rural Towns. And I find that a major positive of rural communities are that they're very close-knit, with families contributing generation after generation. How do you guys see that as an asset, and how can family caregivers build off of that?
I think it's great, and I think you're right. I mean, being in a small community, some people could say that it's not a good thing, but overall, it is wonderful, because even you've got families that, you know, children have moved away, adult children have moved away, but yet they still know someone from the area, so they can ask them, hey, can you check on mom? Can you check on dad? And just knowing. But then on the other note is, if you have a parent maybe that's not doing as well, you've got the community members who know who the children are, will call and say, hey, I'm noticing this. So it can keep people more informed as to, you know, what's going on. And then, you know, start word of mouth for resources. You know, hey, this is what we did for my mom. Call, you know, whoever it is, you know, for whatever it might be. So we're finding too that just that word of mouth, that networking, all those contacts, the word of mouth, that is what is good about, I would say, you know, a smaller community, is that we've got that those resources, and it helps everyone.
Yeah, Shelley, I agree with you. I think it is really important. And I remember back when my parents were kind of getting on the older age, even though I didn't grow up in a rural community, we still had been in the suburb for a long time. And so I distinctly asked a few of their friends, can you please reach out to me, even though I'm, you know, up in Madison, out of town? Here's my number. Can you give me some insight when mom's slipping? And they did. You know, they started to say, we need some help because we're supporting her and we can't do it anymore. So I think you're right. That word of mouth and just letting people, giving people permission to tell you that about your family members. We have just a couple minutes, but what I would like to ask you for these last moments here is what we'd like to ask all of our guests, which is, what are three things you would like to tell family caregivers that have a loved one aging in place in a rural community? Valerie, I'm going to pick on you first. What about you?
Sure, that sounds great. First, we think that people need to realize and recognize that they are caregivers. So that is one thing that we want people to conversate about and reach out to others about, and reach out to their physicians, maybe a librarian, maybe the ADRC.
Exactly. Excellent. Thanks. Ruth, what about you? Ruth, you're muted.
Yeah, I'm muted.
There we go.
We want all caregivers to know that you're not alone, and it really does take a village, that you need to find resources, and you need to find a support group, people that understand how you're feeling and what's going on, a safe space to connect.
Yeah. And last but not least, Shelley, what words of wisdom do you have?
And I said them before, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yes.
That's a big one. And be specific. You know, that's the best way I can say, just be specific and ask.
Thanks so much, you guys. We really appreciate you giving us your time tonight. It's been a real treat hearing about the different resources that are out there and just how cool that everybody is collaborating so well together in this coalition.
Thank you.
Yep. Liza, what's one of the biggest takeaways you got from our show tonight?
Well, I was glad to hear that there actually is a lot of resources out there. I don't think it's surprising to know that one of the biggest obstacles is how to connect people with the resources that are out there and, you know, and getting everyone aware. And then I guess taking that step back that we've talked about in the past, but it's been a while, and that's the whole awareness that you are a caregiver and that is, you still could be a spouse, a parent, a what have you, but that's a separate role. And I know we did a good job once upon a time defining it. How you recall what we said in the past when we were defining what we perceived as being a family caregiver?
Are you asking me
what
we said? Yes. Yeah. I was like, I think she's asking me that. Are you putting me on the spot?
That's what
I do. I can't believe you're doing it to me. Mm-hmm. The way I've been trying to explain it, and I really don't think I have the concise way yet, but it's essentially somebody who's doing something for someone they love and care about because they're things that they can't do themselves. Right. And so that to me is the difference when I think about my role with Nicole versus my role with Andy, my neurotypical kid. Of course, I'm going to be a mother to both of them, but there's a lot of things I have to do for Nicole that I have to support her with because they're things she can't do herself, where Andy can. Mm-hmm. And so that's where that extra hat or that different perspective of being a family caregiver comes from.
Definitely. So, and what was your biggest takeaway?
I was going to say, I just want to say something before we have to end. I am so impressed with the creativity out of these groups, the checkout of the disability signs, the kits, the support groups. I was like, give me more, because it just really struck me. And, you know, again, I hope it's not coming from a bias or a stereotype. It's just a lot of ignorance about rural communities and knowing and not knowing how connected they are. And so it was just a real treat to me to hear how much creativity is happening to make sure that people who are neighbors and, you know, church members and library attendants are all getting this opportunity to support one another. I just think it's cool.
Yeah. And you know, that reminded me, I grew up in a small rural community. I think there were under 60 people in my class. And we had a program called YOST, Young and Old Stick Together. And seniors in high school were able to leave school early, yay, and then visit with local seniors on a weekly basis. And it was a real win-win for everyone.
Yes. Well, I remember you telling me about some of the activities and really being impressed. We're winding down here. And so on our last few shows, we've had a privilege of honoring some family caregivers. Reach out at empoweredcaregivercommunity@gmail.com. If you've got someone to suggest, we've got some cool stuff in the upcoming shows about Down syndrome. And we know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting. So that's why we want to end each show with a positive note. You got this. And together we are stronger. So stay connected to the empowered caregiver community. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. The coverage is brought to you by Mia's Kitchen and Pizzeria, delicious, fresh, homestyle Italian, and Planned Parenthood. Care no matter what. Affordable health care without judgment. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. And Albanese's Roadhouse, authentic Italian family restaurant, sports bar, and grill.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.